Hello again, friends. This is Paul Scharf, Church Ministries representative for the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. It's my great delight to welcome you back to our online Bible study and our ongoing examination of prophetic lessons that we can learn from the coronavirus crisis. I have a brand new article that I have written, a brand new column about this topic called Biblical Realities Confront Us. And you can read that at sermonaudio.com. I just want to let you know, if you're a member of my Facebook group, you can normally read that column early. It releases at 8 p.m. on Thursday evening on Sermon Audio, but I try to get it out early on my Facebook group. And in a slightly different edition with artwork, I invite you to become part of our group and read the column there. If you know of a way that I might give wider exposure to that column, I'd love to hear from you. If your church or another organization or website that you're aware of might think about running that, please let me know. Well, it's wonderful to be back here to our topic. I've just been working diligently to proceed and progress in our study here as we're entering into the fourth lesson. And this is going to be part A of lesson four as we think about the prevalence of a powerful pestilence. And we're really getting into the heart of the matter here, but it's going to still take us some time. So this is part A. I actually want to, in this short lesson, go back and clarify and expand upon some ideas that I gave you last time as we thought about this heady hour in history in which we live in lesson three. You can go back and review that if you haven't watched it yet, but please do that. And I just am not really changing anything that I said in that lesson. I just wanted to make it a little bit more clear and be a little more specific about a couple of points, not really correcting anything, but just commenting on what I said and further setting up the next coming lessons as we transition here to really think about this pestilence and this coronavirus. What can we learn from this whole crisis? Well, we see that it illustrates prophesied future events. And we're going to, I think, see that much more clearly here as we move into this lesson and beyond. And we understand, as we're dealing with these incredible times that we're living through, that we need the solidly biblical and prophetic perspective that Scripture alone can give us to understand our times and to be those that live up to the standard that God has set for us in His Word when He has placed us here for such a time as this. We need to have wisdom, and we need to pray for wisdom from God, but we need to have, of course, basically the wisdom that His Word alone can give us. If you're seeking wisdom about this topic, I want to commend to you another resource that I will be drawing from in coming lessons. It's a brand new book by Dr. Mark Hitchcock. This is brand new, folks. It was written since the shutdowns began and published by Thomas Nelson. It's called Corona Crisis: Plagues, Pandemics, and the Coming Apocalypse by Mark Hitchcock. He is an attorney and also a PhD theologian and pastor and teacher at Dallas Seminary, and just an incredible intellect and a wonderful, I would say, friend, but I don't know if Mark remembers me. I've met him, but he's a great friend of the Friends of Israel, and he's a great resource, and I commend his new book to you. And not in this lesson, but in the next one, I'll be sharing a quote or two from it, Lord willing. So, Corona Crisis. Please check that book. And by the way, I haven't read the whole thing yet, but I understand it is a great resource to pass to your unbelieving friends as well. It's really clear on the gospel and on how we need to react at this time in which we live. Well, with that being said, now let's go back and think about something I brought up last week that I just want to make more clear in this installment. And this is sort of a prelude to lesson four. It's not going to advance the ball too much further down the field, but I trust it will be helpful and that it will just increase your appetite for more as we go. And I'll try to add a few new details in here that will really help, okay? We actually saw this quote last time from Dr. Thomas Ice. He said that prophecy is not being fulfilled in our day, and I believe that, and that's a staple of the dispensational pre-tribulational view. But he says it does not follow from that that we cannot track general trends. Now that's the word, the phrase there, the topic I want to pick up and hone in on, general trends. Because I hope I didn't confuse anyone last time. I used that term in two different ways. And I want to unpack that a little and make it, as I said, clearer in this lesson. What are we talking about when we talk about tracking general trends? He says it does not follow that we cannot track general trends in current preparation for the coming tribulation. So he's using the word general trends here to talk about events of the tribulation for which, as we'll see, the stage is being set in our time before the tribulation begins, before the rapture occurs. So he says it doesn't follow that we can't track general trends in current preparation for the coming tribulation, especially since it immediately follows the rapture. All right. Now, when we talk about those kind of general trends developing in our day that will ultimately come to fruition during the tribulation time, so we're talking about tribulation events. We're talking about trends related to tribulation events, aren't we? Okay? You're with me, I trust. Now, he says this is stage setting. So we're seeing the stage being set. By the way, I encourage you to go and read this whole article that I'm drawing from here, quoting from Prophetic Stage Setting by Dr. Thomas Ice. Very key article on the Pre-Trib website. If you want to dig deeper, here you go. You can look that up and read it and study it. He says, I call this approach stage setting. So general trends, stage setting, tribulation-related trends for which the stage is being set today. He says, this future time casts shadows. That's another term. In fact, I use that illustration, that term, in my new article there, Biblical Realities Confront Us, if you go and read and study that. Talk about shadows. The events of the tribulation stand so tall between us and the glory of Christ's final second coming that their shadows fall into our time, even before the rapture. So that's a third a term we could use, shadows. This future time casts shadows of expectation in our own day so that current events provide discernible. And here's the term Jesus used, signs of the times, signs of the times. Matthew 16:3. That's a biblical term, signs of the times. Okay, so as we think about here the chart from Lehane Ice, well, the next event on God's calendar is the resurrection and rapture of church-age saints, the rapture of the church, the catching up of the church. And then we have the 7 years of tribulation. I've already shared with you, I believe in this series, my view. There really isn't much time for further preparation, in my view, between the rapture and the tribulation, even though it's here on the chart. I believe the tribulation will follow almost immediately after the rapture. Now, will there be hours, will there be days? I don't know. I tend to think it will be very, very quickly after the rapture that the tribulation officially begins with the signing of the covenant of Daniel 9 between Antichrist and Israel. And the tribulation begins, the two witnesses appear in Jerusalem, God has a witness on the earth, and his program now centers around Jerusalem and Israel. I tend to think that happens very quickly, not after months or years between the rapture and the tribulation. That's an intramural debate among good dispensational pre-tribulationalists. But I think, especially as we think of this idea of stage setting that we're talking about, I mean, in what way is the stage being set today if there's going to be, you know, a decade of time between the rapture and the tribulation? I just don't think that's what's going to happen. Now, again, that's just my opinion, and that's a rabbit trail from what we're really talking about here in this lesson, but take that for what it's worth. All right, so the rapture, the tribulation. Now, as we live today, and we're seeing these general trends that we're talking about, here they are, general trends, or remember, Ice called it stage setting, or he talked about shadows, or the biblical term Jesus used, signs of the times. Those are all four terms in Ice's quote, and I believe correctly so, for the same concept. And that is these trends, the stage setting that's occurring, these shadows that are falling, these signs of the times are upon us now in the church age. Not fulfillment of prophecy that will occur. Notice fulfillment on the bottom of the screen that will occur in the tribulation. It's not being fulfilled now, but preparation for fulfillment. Stage setting. Shadows falling. These general trends of signs of the times. In other words, we're seeing the glow of the signs that will be fulfilled in the tribulation. Okay? However you can, in your mind, think of this and illustrate it in a way that makes sense. We're talking about all the same thing there, okay? And again, Jesus said specifically, you know how to discern the face of the sky, Pharisees and Sadducees, but he called them hypocrites, saying, you cannot discern the signs of the times. We have an obligation to discern the signs of our times. We see signs of the times in the sun and the moon and the stars and on the earth. In other words, those signs will be fulfilled in that way in the future. And we see glimmers of them now in the church age. They're not being fulfilled. They're not coming to fruition now. But we see the shadows of them even now as they will be fulfilled. God is setting the stage for their fulfillment in the tribulation. And so we have an obligation to discern, I believe, the signs of the times. Just as the people of Israel could have understood specifically by the calendar from Daniel chapter 9 and the prophecy of the 70 weeks of Daniel, they could have known specifically when their Messiah would come. They could understand the signs of the times and should have, and Jesus rebuked them for not knowing them. But we have now evidence of the signs of his second coming. And Luke 21 is a crucial chapter in developing that idea, and it's a chapter that we'll be turning to multiple times, beginning in our next lesson. So put that one on the sticky side of your mind and go back and read it and study it, if you would. We all remember the old illustration, and I've shared this before, and actually watched a video this last week of Dr. Mark Hitchcock sharing it. And he attributed it to Dr. John Wolvard, who I think maybe did come up with this specific illustration, that, you know, we see all the signs of Christmas, and boy, it won't be long now as I record this at the end of May in 2020. It won't be long, and we'll start to see, can you believe it or not, we'll start to see, probably 3 months or less, we'll be seeing signs of Christmas. If you go into a retail store, if you go into, if you go into any kind of business that deals with issues related to Christmas and winter time, you'll see things by July or August for sure that relate to the coming of Christmas, don't they? And then the signs start to increase, and you start to see Christmas trees and decorations, and you hear the music, and on and on. You understand what I'm talking about. Sadly, in our culture, there's not a whole lot of signs that point us to Thanksgiving. Personally, I love Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday, and I think it gets lost in some of the trappings of Christmas that really aren't biblical or necessarily helpful. And so I really love to emphasize Thanksgiving. I could start celebrating Thanksgiving in October, and I think maybe we should. But there's just, in our culture, there's not too many signs of it. You know, just maybe the couple of days before the president will pardon the turkeys, and, you know, you start seeing a few decorations. But even, I remember as a kid, we had Thanksgiving decorations, but now it seems like we're so overwhelmed with Christmas, there's not much there to point us to Thanksgiving. What's the point of all this? Well, you see all those signs of Christmas, and you know Thanksgiving must be near, right? Must be near. It's going to come first. When we see all the signs of Jesus' second coming, we appear to see the glow of these signs. And so the rapture is 7 years closer than the second coming. It must be getting nearer. Of course, it is getting nearer. Now, again, to clarify something we touched on last time, we have the rapture, we have the tribulation. Right now we live in the church age before the rapture of the church. And here's what I wanted to make clear, because we talk about these general trends related to the signs of the times of things that will be fulfilled in the tribulation. But we also use this word general trends related to things that are happening today. So we use the same term or at least I did in the last video, and I want to make sure to clarify that we're talking about two related but different things. There are general trends of things that we can expect to see happen, specifically in the church age. To quote again from ICE, but this time from the Popular Encyclopedia of Bible Prophecy, he explains it this way. Some Bible readers believe that specific signs relate to the end of the church age. He says, however, this is too strong a statement. So we don't have any specific prophecies of things that will happen, particularly during the church age. But he says, instead, the Bible indicates what the condition of the church will be, the general course of the age, and then warns, and here he says it again, about some general trends toward the later part of the church age. So ICE himself is using the word general trends, as I did in the last video, in two different senses. We have general trends of things that will occur during the church age that the Bible specifically talks about. And then we also have general trends. Maybe we shouldn't use that term for the signs of the times, or in other words, evidence that the stage is being set for the tribulation. Just because obviously it would be very confusing to talk about general trends and general trends. So that's what I really wanted to clarify and really hone in on, that we talk about general trends of things that will happen during the church age, and then we talk about general trends, or let's say stage setting, setting the stage for things that will come to fulfillment in the tribulation. All right? So that's what I wanted to clarify in this lesson and point out and remind you of and refresh you on. And what are some of these trends that we see, by the way, for the church age? We talked about them last time, that the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And that in the last days perilous times will come. I don't know where you are today, friends. I'm recording this on May 30, 2020, and we are living in perilous times. Our beloved nation of America seems to be, in some sectors, just confronting absolute chaos. And that's even outside of the coronavirus crisis, which we're focused on in this series. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. And friends, if you're listening to this, and if there's anyone who has stumbled onto this Bible study, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, the Lord God, who became also man, the second person of the eternal Godhead became a man. And if you've never accepted him, I want you to know he is your only hope, and he is coming again, and you need to be ready to meet him, and you need to be ready to meet him when he will be your Savior and not only your judge. And you need to trust in him today, because he is your only hope. And he is the only hope of our nation, but he our nation, as a nation, can't accept him as Savior, but you can accept him personally. That he died on the cross for your sins, and he was buried, and he rose again, so that you could have the forgiveness of sin and eternal life in heaven with him. And whatever happens in our country, whatever happens in the world, you will be in Jesus Christ. That's what I pray for you listening, friend, if you've never trusted in him. If you have trusted in him, friend, what a time to be alive. And that's why we're studying these things. I hope that you have a desire to become God's person that he would have you to be, that you could serve him in such a time as this, like you've never done before. And may he bless you for it, and may he give you strength, peace, help, and courage for these days in which we live. And thank you so much for joining me as we have thought today about these important things. And may God bless you as you go from here. Thanks for listening.